Okay, let's get started tonight. Turn in your Bible, if you will, three passages. First of all, let's see here, how can we do this? 1 Peter chapter 3, turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 3. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Peter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now hold your place in those two with your left hand, okay? And with your right hand, find 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 this evening. One of the most often asked questions, I think, that a person could ask in the early days of their Christianity is, how do I know that I'm saved? Can I be sure of such a thing? One of the most disputed facts today in Christian circles and in even religious circles, if you would, if we could put it a little further, in religious circles, is can a person really be sure that when they die that they're going to go to heaven? Now, we talked last week as we began the beginner's Bible study. We talked about the matter of salvation. Tonight, we're going to talk about assurance of salvation. And we're asking the question, can a person know? Can a person be sure? Can a person be positive that when they die, that they're going to go to heaven? Is that really a possibility? Here in the book of 1 John chapter 5, one verse, we read verse 13. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's that next word? Know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Then, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we read there in verse 5, the Apostle Paul writes, and he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not that not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And then again, over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read in verse 15, the Scripture says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we began in the book of John, where the Apostle John writes, and John says that a person can know. Now the word that he uses there for know is an absolute assurance, an absolute know-so kind of a knowing. In other words, he says, we can know that we have eternal life. We can know that we have a home in heaven. We can know that we have a relationship with the Father. The Apostle Paul says much the same thing in a different roundabout way, if you would. When he writes there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and he says there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Now, what's he mean? He means that it's possible for a person to be in the faith. And second, it is possible for a person to examine himself and be sure that he is in the faith. But it is also possible for a person to think he's in the faith and not be in the faith. Therefore, he says, examine yourselves. Then we cap it off with the Apostle Peter. And Peter writes here in his book in 1 Peter chapter 3, and he says here that we ought to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we ought to be ready always to give reason for the hope that lies within us. Now, what hope is he talking about? He's talking about this no-so kind of salvation that John talked about. He's talking about this examining ourselves and being able to say, I'm in the faith. And he's saying, if you can say that, if you can have that kind of a hope, then you ought to be ready to be able to give an answer for it. You ought to be ready to give a reason for why you think you're a child of God. The sad part is tonight that there are many people who think that they're saved and they are not. Jesus Christ makes that clear in the book of Matthew chapter 7, where he says that there will be a day when people will stand before the Lord and they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many mighty works in your name, etc., etc. And then Christ will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. You were never a child of God. You were never one of mine. and you are not one of mine now. So it is possible tonight for a person to think that they are a Christian, to think that they are going to heaven, and not have a biblical reason for that. But on the other side, let's flip the coin just real quick tonight, and why we're speaking about this subject of assurance of salvation. The flip side of that coin is that the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 44, if you will, that Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. And with that lie, we also go back to the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, and we see where the devil comes along, embodied in a serpent, and comes up to talk to Eve, and what's he say to her? Yea, hath God said. Can you really trust God? Can you really believe God? Now, those of you that have been saved any length of time, those of you that have known Christ any length of time, there has been a time, probably in most every one of your lives, since you have been saved, when you have sat back and said, I wonder if I'm really a Christian. I wonder if I've really been born again. There have been times when you have questioned that because Satan does come along and he whispers those lies in your ear like he does in mine. How can you be a Christian? How can you be so sure? And I'll tell you what, if you get out in this world brushing elbows long enough with folks out there that do not know Christ, and they keep telling you, nobody can know this, nobody can be sure, pretty soon, if you're not feeding yourselves with the Word of God, if you don't know what God has said, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word of truth, you're going to come away scratching your head saying, maybe I have talked myself into something that really isn't real. Maybe I've fed myself a line, and maybe I believe something that really I have no reason to believe. And so we ask ourselves tonight the question, can a person really know? And the answer to that, obviously, is, as we've already read in the book of 1 John chapter 5, the reason that I've written these things to you, he says, is so that you may know that you have eternal life. I don't want you sitting around guessing or hoping or wishing or not positive about this thing. I want you to know. Now, what are the fruits of assurance of salvation? Or in other words, another way to put it, what good does it do to know that you're saved? There's some practical things that God gives us because we know we're saved. One of those is found here in the book of 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, John says, the reason I'm writing 1 John, of course, in verse 13 of chapter 5 was so that we may know that we're saved. Another part of that reason is found right here in verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And I submit to you tonight that if you have been born again, but you do not have assurance of salvation, if you're not sure, according to God's Word, that you've been born again, then you're going to be robbed of your joy. You're not going to have joy in this life. In fact, if you are not a Christian, you're going to have a hard time having joy in the things of God. You're going to have a hard time having joy in this life. Especially when the things of life begin to go against you and you take a look around and you say, I don't have the things of life that I'd like to have. Where are you going to find your joy at a time like that? For the child of God, he can lose everything that he's got. It can all slip through his fingers and he can still have joy. Why? Because he still has not lost the most valuable thing in all of his life. He may have lost his bank account. He may have lost his wife. He may have lost his kids. He may have lost his house and his job. He may have lost everything that this world has for him. But one thing can't be taken away from you. If you have been born again, and you know it, that joy cannot be taken away because you know you have eternal life that can't slip away. Another passage of Scripture in the book of 1 John chapter 3 here we read. Look in verse 19. The Bible says there, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. There's that assurance of salvation. Hereby we know that we are of the truth. Hereby we know we have been born again. And shall assure our hearts before Him. Look again in verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. There is, for the child of God who knows that he has been born again, there is not only joy, but there is comfort. There's an assurance. There's a peace and a comfort that goes along with that. That though all the rest of the world may turn their back and all the rest of the world may ridicule and laugh and they may make laughing stock of the things of God, we still know that this book is true and our God is true and our salvation is real. We have an assurance. And that's why many of our forefathers were able to sit in prison, knowing that they were about to lose their life, and still able to say when they came and gave them their last chance to recant and turn their back on Christ, they would say, "I will not deny Him. Kill me if you will. I will not deny Him." That's why when mothers and fathers were taken and their children were taken, they were taken out in the yard outside and they were told, "You either deny Jesus Christ or your children are going to be thrown to these wild pigs." Now, what would you do at a time like that? And they said, "We will not turn our back on Jesus Christ." And their babies were taken and thrown to the pigs and eaten in front of their face. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine watching your child, your baby that you've given birth to, taken and eaten by wild animals? Yet that happened to some of our forefathers. How in the world could they stand there and watch such a thing take place? And I say to you, it's because they had a comfort, they had an assurance, something that was so real to them that even in the midst of losing their own children, even in the midst of them then being taken out and literally burned at the stake, and in some cases their intestines ripped out, their stomachs ripped out. I mean, they died right there for the faith of Jesus Christ. The reason they were able to stand there and stay steadfast was because they had an assurance that was more real than any kind of an assurance that any world or world power could give them. Something that lasted. There's a third one here in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 8 that's hinted at in this passage. We're saying, what are the fruits of assurance? What good purpose does this have? Well, this one's very similar, but in verse 8 he says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." And I submit to you that a person who has assurance of salvation and knows that when they die that they're going to heaven, a person that knows that has stability to their life. They don't have to be afraid when it comes time to die. They don't have to sit there and wonder and worry and be bothered. I'm not saying that death doesn't hold any fear, but I am saying that death will not cause a child of God who has his mind and heart stayed on the Lord, it will not shake them in their faith. I like what was said of the Methodists early on. And it was said to Wesley. They said to him, I don't know who it was that said it, but somebody said to him, they said, "You know, there's one thing that's impressed us about you Methodists. Your people die well." And you know, the thing that ought to impress people about our faith ought to be that we do die well. Now, we live in a day and age when, you know, we plug all the tranquilizers and painkillers and everything in people so that they just lay there, and when they die, we don't know what death is all about. But I've been at the deathbed of some people who have died that knew Jesus Christ. And I've been there when they've died without painkillers. I've seen them as they breathe their last and one last cough and they're gone. And I've seen a difference between their death and the death of those who do not know Jesus Christ. There's a major difference in the way they die. There's a difference in the peace that's on the face and the peace that's in the heart. And the peace that's in the voice of a child of God who's going out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a difference between that and the person who goes out into eternity screaming because he fears where he's going. He has no assurance. Now, I realize that our painkillers have numbed that, but there are still a few people in our world who do pass away without the aid of the doctors pumping them full of all kinds of tranquilizers. And I think we ought to go back to that, not just because we're inhumane, but I believe it gives people at least another chance to get saved in those last few moments. But you dope them up, and what chance do they have? But we'll pass that up tonight. That's not why we're here. The fruits of assurance. So we're talking tonight about the assurance of salvation. How can I know that I'm saved? If it's going to give me stability and comfort, and it's going to give me joy in my Christian life, how in the world do I get it? How can I be sure? What is the basis of my assurance? Here we go. The book of 1 John again, chapter 5. Let's look at that just real quickly. Verse 11. The Bible says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now in verse 11, he tells us there, this is the record. What is the record? This book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God. This is the record. Then he says in verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. In other words, what John is saying is that we have a record which we hold in our hands. We have a book which we hold in our hands that is the basis. It is the foundation. It is the proof that we have that our eternal life is real. It is from this book that we gain our assurance. It is from this book that we get our basis of knowing that we are a child of God. Now, in the world in which we live, it is normal and it is accepted behavior to base the fact that you're going to heaven on, I feel like it. That's the way most people think about it. Well, how do you feel today? Well, I feel good. Well, you must be going to heaven. Everything's fine then. But you'll not find any kind of statements made in this book like that. In fact, it is possible for a person not to feel like they're saved and still be saved. Because feeling has nothing to do with it. It's not what I think, and by the way, it is not what my preacher says. It is not what my church says. But if I am going to be saved, I am going to be saved according to what this book says, and if I have assurance of salvation, if I know that when I die I'm going to heaven, I am only going to be able to have a God-given assurance of salvation if I know what this book says, and I'm able to compare this book with my life and say that what this book says salvation is what has happened to me. If I can't say that, then I have no right to say to anybody, I know I've been born again. That's why Peter said, be ready to give an answer for a reason, if you will, for the hope that lies within you. That's what Paul meant when he said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, when he said, examine yourselves. Examine myself. Get out a microscope and turn it inward. Am I supposed to cut myself open and look at myself? Is that going to show me anything? Take pictures of my brains? Will that show me anything? The answer is no. You don't get anything. Amen. From the brain, that's true too. Amen. Some people would be empty-headed. Well, anyhow, but we can't examine ourselves unless we've got an instrument of examination, and that's what this book is all about. Amen. Salvation is not a Baptist teaching alone. In other words, if you will, it's not by being a Baptist that you get to heaven. Thank God Baptists preach salvation by grace through faith. But folks, salvation is not because you're a Baptist. Salvation is not because you've joined any kind of a church. I don't care what brand or denomination you want to put on it. I don't care if you've been baptized. That does not give you salvation. So we must find out what is salvation. Let's look at God's statements then. First of all, if the basis is the Word of God, there are three things I want you to see. First of all, the promise of God. John chapter 5. Look over there. We're going to look at the written record that God has given us. If I have been saved, if I have eternal life, then I'm going to be able to look in this book and find out a reason why I have eternal life. I'm going to be able to prove it from the Bible. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, listen to this. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, this is Jesus speaking, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, present tense, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now here's what Jesus Christ says. Here's the promise of Jesus Christ. The person who hears my word, listens to what I have to say, and believes on him that sent me. Now the word believe in the Bible is very simply a word which means to put your full faith and trust in, to rest in alone. If you hear my word, you listen to what I have to say, and then you put your full faith and trust in me, then this is what will happen to you. You will have, present tense, right now, everlasting life. It's not something you're going to get when you die. It's something that you have right now. Second of all, you will have passed, past tense, this happened when you believed, you will have passed from from condemnation, out of condemnation. And you will have passed then to life. And so Jesus Christ has taken us, here's His promise, if we have believed on Him and listened to His words, then He has taken us and translated us out of a state of condemnation where God was ready to say, you deserve to go to hell, go to hell. And He has put us in a place of life where He says, enter into My kingdom. You belong to Me. How do I know I've been born again? The promise of God. If I have heard His word and believed on Him, then what? Then Jesus Christ says, here's the words of Jesus Christ, then I have passed from death unto life. I've been changed. But you don't look too much different. It doesn't matter what I look like and it doesn't matter what I feel like, but it does matter what God says. And He says, I've passed from death to life. That's His testimony. And I remind you, God can't lie. Here's another one. Look at John 6:37. All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. How do I know I'm a child of God? How do I know I'm born again? I ask the question, have I come to Him? If I have come to Him, will He cast me out? Absolutely no. Will He say no to me? Will He turn me away? Will He bar the doors? Will He say to me, Doug Hammett, I'm sick of you, out of here? No, sir, no way. He says He will in no wise, for no reason, absolutely none, no reason will He cast me out, will He put me away. Another passage of Scripture. Look at this one in John chapter 10. We read in verse 27, He says, My sheep hear My voice. Sounds like John 5:24. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. So the Bible is telling me here in verse 27 that if I have heard His word, then I belong to Him. Now listen careful. If I have heard His word, I have become one of His sheep. What's the next step that's going to happen in my life? I'm going to follow Him. In other words, a child of God that's heard His word, become a child of God, will have not only heard it with his physical ears, but he will have heard it with his spiritual ears, if you will, and he will be following Jesus Christ. Now follow with me. And if he is following Jesus Christ, he's heard the word and following Jesus Christ, then listen to this, what he promises. Verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life. Same thing that John said back in 1 John 5:13. I give them eternal life, and no man shall pluck them out of My Father's hand. Nobody can snatch them away or in any way make them lose what they have gotten. There's the promise of God. Another passage real quick in the book of Romans chapter 8. We read over there. Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in verse 1, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Bible says now that there is no condemnation, that I as a child of God, if I am in Jesus Christ, how do you get into Him? You get into Him by believing on Him. You get into Him by trusting Him. You get into Him by receiving Him. You get into Him by being born again, in short. So if I have received Jesus Christ, then here's the promise of God. There is therefore now no condemnation. God will not condemn me. He cannot condemn me if I'm in Jesus Christ. He cannot say to me, Doug Hammett, you've sinned too much. Off to hell with you. He cannot do that. For He's promised that I will not, cannot be condemned. Then, verse 38 and 39 in the same chapter, he says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says I can't be separated from Christ. If I have received Him on His terms, then He has received me. He can't cast me out, and neither can anything else separate me from His love. Nothing can rip me out of His arms. Absolutely nothing. then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, real quick. This ends our promises here. 1 Peter chapter 3, we read there in verse 3. Chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. In verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath," now listen to this, "hath begotten us," born again, "begotten us again unto a lively hope," there's our assurance of salvation, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled," and listen to this, "and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now listen to this in verse 5. Well, how do I know that I'm going to make it to the end? Verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." In other words, my friend, you and I, if we have believed on Jesus Christ, if we have received Jesus Christ, if we have been born again, if we have accepted Him, if we have committed ourselves to Him, if we have called upon Him, then the Bible says that we are kept not by our own power. We're kept not by our own ability, not by our own strength and our own emotions or our anything else. We aren't even kept by our own faith. We're kept by His power. He's the one that does the keeping. That's only fitting because He's the one that did the saving to begin with. Amen? So, here's a problem a lot of young converts wrestle with. Okay, I asked Christ into my heart, but how do I know that He really accepted me? How do I know that He'll really keep me? How can I be sure that I'm going to be saved and stay saved? And the answer is because of the promises of God. If you have heard His Word, John 5:24, and believed on Him, then He promises that you have passed from death unto life. He promises that you do have, right now, eternal life. You can't lose it. He keeps you, 1 Peter. And so we have the promises of God. But look at the presence of God, if you will, back in the book of Romans chapter 5. Then, second of all, how can I be sure that I have been born again? Then there's the presence of God. Because after we get saved, after we receive Christ, sometimes we go back and we begin to say, now wait a minute, did I really receive Him? Because you see, the essential part of getting saved, the essential part of receiving Him is, you have to have heard His Word. Now if you didn't hear His Word, you can't be saved. And it won't do you any good to read Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That's not enough to get saved with, amen? You need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, here in Romans 5:5 we read, here's the presence of God. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us when we're born again. In chapter 8 of the book of Romans, verse 16, it reads, "The Spirit," the Holy Spirit itself, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now here's God's presence. We have His promise. His promise is that if we have believed on Him, then He guarantees us eternal life. But here's the problem that we've got. Have I really believed on Him? Can I be satisfied that I have really received Him? And the way that we know that is because He has given us of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. Now, that's not some heebie-jeebie kind of a thing. That's not some kind of feeling of goosebumps up and down the back of your spine. It's not your hair standing up on end. It's not some vision. But according to the book of John chapter 16... the Bible tells us how the Holy Spirit bears witness with us. What's His job? He lives inside of us. For what purpose? Here we are, John chapter 16. Listen to this in verse 13. He says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come." What does the Holy Spirit speak about? Truth. What is truth? Thy Word is truth. It's the Word of God. So how does the Holy Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit? He bears witness with my spirit as I get into this book and I search out from this book, what has God said about salvation? And as I read, what does God say about salvation and how to receive Christ and how to know that I've been born again? As I read this book, the Holy Spirit of God is inside of me if I'm a child of God, and He is saying to me, Doug Hammond, you have believed. Doug Hammond, you have received. Doug Hammond, you have been born again. Doug Hammond, you have committed your life. Doug Hammond, you have called on Jesus Christ. That's how I know that I am born again. Not just the promises of God, for the promises of God could be in general. They may not be to me personally, but the presence of God is a personal thing. And when the Spirit of God lives inside of me and I read this book opens up to me and speaks to me and says, Doug Hammond, this is you. Now, so I ask myself the question, have I repented? Have I received Christ? And as I read the Scriptures, the Spirit of God says, yes, Doug. Yes, Doug, you received Christ. Remember the day. You have believed. You have sorrowed over your sin. And you have believed on Christ alone and trusted in Him alone for that salvation that only He can give. There's a third way that we know that we're saved in 2 Corinthians 5, real quickly. Not only is there the promise of God and the presence of God, but a person could still be baffled, bewildered, still, sad to say, they could trip themselves up and think that they're saved when they're not. So, God has given us the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The power of God very simply says that when a person gets saved, over a period of time, God is going to begin to work in their life, and there's going to be some changes that take place. In Philippians chapter 1, we could spend all night going through verses on this, but Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if I have been born again, there's one thing that is guaranteed in my life. That from the day of my salvation until the day of my death, physical death, that Doug Hammett is going to be changed and changing. No, I was not perfect the day that I got saved. But I was changed. I didn't look any different. My hair was still the same. My face was still the same. My body was still the same. But the day that I got saved, my heart was different. My attitude, and that's what I think I like to key in on the most. My attitude changed. It was no longer, I don't want to hear what God has to say. It was now, tell me more. It was a changed attitude. And as I came to this book, I began to realize this isn't right, and this isn't right, and this isn't right. And over the long haul, here's my guarantee. Over the long haul, I can look back over those years since 1971, and I can say there have been major changes in Doug Hammett's life. He's not the same person that he was back yonder. So yes, I have the promises of God. And I have the presence of God. But in case I might fool myself, God says, I want you to also know that there is the power of God that must be operative in your life. And if you don't have the power of God operative in your life, you better go back and check the presence and the promises again, because it may not be for you. Now, 1 John chapter 3. Let's just look at a couple of them. There aren't very many. There are very many in the Scriptures. We aren't going to look at very many, though. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And here the Bible says that one of the changes that will take place, one of the things that the power of God will do in my life and in your life is that we'll love each other. We'll care about one another. We'll give ourselves for one another. That's God's promise. So if I've been born again, there will be a love in my heart. Second of all, in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, It says there, and hereby we do know that we know Him. How? How, John? If we keep His commandments. If I'm concerned about doing what God has to say, then that's another evidence that the power of God is operative in my life. Another verse, book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'll turn from the world if I've really been born again. I'll be able to look back on my life from the day that I got saved, and I'll be able to see that over those years, I have been turning away from the world. Now, if you'd walked up to me the day that I got saved and said, all right, Doug Hammond, here's the things you've got to change. You are a worldly person. And you'd said, these are the things you're going to drop out of your life, and told me everything that I was going to drop out over these, 18 years now, I would have said to you, I quit. But I can look back over those 18 years and I can say from day one, things started dropping out, things started changing. I started turning my back on this and that. I mean, there over the long haul, there are major changes that have taken place. And I look back and I say, God has overhauled me. Hadn't got me all together yet, but He's overhauled me. Amen. And then 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. A child of God, according to the book of Matthew chapter 5, ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness and, by the way, after the Word of God. So the way that I know that I'm saved is, number one, I've got the promises of God to count on. Number two, I've got the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, who bears witness that what God says salvation is what's happened in my life. I can look back at a point in time in my life and say, I did receive Jesus Christ. Then I have the power of God that's operative. Now, if you just got saved, you don't have this yet because you haven't been saved long enough. But over a period of time, you'll be able to look back and look back from that salvation experience and say, over this period of time, God has been operative in my life. Now, let me caution you here. There are people today who base their salvation simply on the power of God. And they say, well, I've changed this and I've changed that and I've changed the other, so it proves that I'm a child of God. But I remind you that salvation had to have a place to start in your life. And so there will be the promises of God where you receive Christ, and there will be the presence of God that's operative, and you'll be able to go back and nail down that salvation experience. Now, maybe not with a date, but you'll remember the experience. And as you look back at that, you'll be able to say, there has been this experience in my life when I received Jesus Christ, but in order to guarantee that it was a bona fide experience, that it was real, that I didn't just say a few words, pray a prayer, and walk away lost, to guarantee that now, I've got this lifestyle over a period of time where God has changed my life. And I know I'm born again because I've got a time, but I've also got a person who has been working in my life, and I've got a changed lifestyle that's different than what it was before. So you ask the question, how can I know if I'm saved or not? And the answer is very simple. Tell me, when you received Christ, did you receive Christ on the basis of the Word of God? Did you understand that you were a sinner, that you deserved to go to hell? Did you understand that you could not save yourself? You didn't deserve anything that God would give you? Did you then know that Jesus Christ had died for you, for your sins? And did you trust in Him alone to forgive you? Not your works, not your baptism, not your church membership, but Him alone. If you can point to that, if you've got that operative in your life, then the promises of God are yours. And the Spirit of God, as you read the Scriptures, the Spirit of God takes those promises and makes them personal in your life. And if you've been saved any length of time, you're able to look from that point of salvation on, and over the long haul, you're able to point to some fruit in your life and say, look at what's been happening. I love to be around the people of God. I love the Word of God. I love to live for God. I have a desire to obey Him. I want His commandments operative in my life. I've turned from the things of this world. I don't love this world like I once did. Oh, I must confess, I'm not as godly as I wish, and I'm not as faithful as I wish, and I'm not as loving as I wish. But the fact is, there have been some major changes in my life. If I don't have them, then I've got to ask the question,
was my first experience real or not? That, my friend, is assurance of salvation. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you for each person that's here. Thank you for the Bible that gives us so very clearly the plan of salvation. And then not only that, but the promise of salvation. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can know beyond any doubt that we have been born again. Thankful tonight that we can belong to you and know it. Give us a joy in our heart, a comfort, an assurance. And Lord, give us a stability that in the midst of a world that rocks from point to point and place to place, that we might be able to set a straight course and say, "Follow me. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him." May we be able to say that as the Apostle Paul did, but also able to say then to those around us, "You follow me, I'm following Christ, and we'll get in the right place." Father, tonight, bless His service. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, just real quickly, I'd like to ask a question. Maybe you'd say tonight, "Preacher, I've never been born again. I don't know that if I died today, I'd even go to heaven. I can't say that for sure." But you'd say tonight, by the uplifted hand, "Preacher, I'm concerned about it. I would like to know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to be sure of that." And by that uplifted hand, you'd just be saying to me, "Preacher, please pray for me. I am concerned. I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you slip your hand up, heads are bowed, no one's looking. Just saying, "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I'm saved." Father, tonight, thank you for each person that's here. Lord, certainly we wouldn't want to talk about such a great truth without giving opportunity for people to trust you. We pray tonight for each person that's here that if there is one lost, that you would work in their heart and their life and help them to find Christ as their Savior very soon, maybe even before they leave this building. Have your way in the rest of the service to come. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.